Good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. I am so glad to see y'all here this morning. Will y'all please stand as we open up with a little bit of worship this morning. Get your hands ready. We have a nice little hand clapper this morning, so I want to see you guys act like Baptists, okay?
I wonder.
As we open up the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you that we can come here to worship you, God. We can praise you. And God, I thank you for that day that I saw the light. And I'm sure that everybody else that's here, Christian, this morning, thanks and praises you for that day that you opened their eyes and you shone that light to them, God, and saved them from their sins. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray an anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon us and upon your word this morning, God. I pray that you speak powerfully through Larry, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and your precious word, Lord. And I thank you for it, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Yes.
Good morning. Last Sunday, you gave $230.10 to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, giving us a total of $1,803.89 toward our goal of $4,000. Today is the last day to give for the offering. If you would like to donate, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. Please drop your envelopes off at the back of the church. Thank you for giving to support North American Missions. Please continue to pray for our missionaries. And now we will watch a video about a church planting family in the unreached area of St. John's in Canada. Thank you.
Newfoundland is called the Rock because life here is hard. We're an island off the east coast of Canada, and from a spiritual perspective, it's mind-boggling how little churches there are. You know, my parents are from Newfoundland. My whole heritage is from here. And so we moved back to Newfoundland because it's a fantastic place to plant a church.
When I first came to Newfoundland, I remember sitting on my couch praying and just feeling so sad that people that I didn't even know. I hadn't even met them yet. But they had no chance to hear the gospel.
We are here in Kilbride, and there's a lot of young families here. And in 1892, the last church existed in Kilbride. It burnt down in 1892. And so the gospel hasn't been preached here in 128 years. And so we set out to have people in our home. Because there's a term called CFA, come from away. If you're born on the mainland or anywhere else but Newfoundland, and you move here, you will always be known as a come from away.
So we had to adjust our mindset and say, we are moving to Newfoundland and we are going to let God work. We know that that's probably going to be a long process.
We are seeing the gospel transforming people. But still, when we are gathering on Sundays, I'm always reminded of how outnumbered we are. If I were to get in a car and drive 2 hours south, you won't find a single Bible-preaching, gospel-centered evangelical church. And so it's the rock, because it's very hard to plant seeds here. But Lord, here I am, send me.
Just amazing to me. You really? Larry's got something, of course. Belen?
Well, announcements I need you all to be aware of. And one is Diana Campa's daughter, Melinda, who we've been praying for a long, long time, is right now in surgery receiving a new liver. So be much in prayer about that. And also, I've had a ton of people ask me about Johnny Fisher. Let me tell you, the day I sent out that one call, the doctor had came out and said, we don't know if he's going to make it. Sent out the one call, 7 o'clock that evening, the doctor came out and he goes, it's absolutely incredible. He says, I can't explain it. They gave him over 60 units of blood product, and it went to 3 in 3 days. So that was after you all prayed. So we give God the glory for that. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And also, on a lighter note, T-shirts. You seeing T-shirts out there? Those are for the mission ride this year. And we're only going to do orders only this year. Hopefully, there's not going to be big stacks of shirts out there for sale. So if you want a shirt, you have to order it. And you have till May 7th to do that. So thank you. You have to sign up.
All right, thank you, Larry. We all please stand and we continue with worship this morning. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Depression. speak Jesus.
Excited there, didn't I? You know, I don't know. I've been, let's get these pictures in my mind, right? I've been watching The Chosen, right? I don't know. How many people have been watching The Chosen, right? If you haven't, you really should, okay? It's on Peacock. It's really, really awesome about Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. And the one I watched last night was about the woman at the well, and Jesus went to her at the time of day. He knew she would be there to reveal himself to her. And I thought that was so cool. And then he is like, now I want you to go tell everybody. And that's, you know, so I got a little excited. Sorry. And she told him about the king coming.
Throne of an
praise offering, whatever you want to do, praise God this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
Only you get the glory. You are the kingdom. You are the power. And we lift this song in praise to you because you are so worthy. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for sending your Spirit into this place today. Lord, it is moving already. So Lord, we ask that you continue to move in the power of your word, Lord. Not in the words I speak, but in the words that come from your book, Lord. That you will speak to us mightily and powerfully. That you will move us in such a powerful way, Lord, that we will have no other choice but to shout the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just lift this praise up to you. We ask that you be glorified in it, Lord. It is for you that we praise. So, Lord, we pray today as we begin to speak and look at your word. Again, Lord, I ask your blessing, Lord, that you would use me. If not, Lord, if I'm not the one, silence me. Rise up the one to speak for you this day. If I'm going to say something that is not right or true. So, Lord, we give this service to you for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You've got your Bibles with you. Turn them to Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. And if you cannot smell, then shame on you because you're missing out on a real blessing because there's our Easter dinner is directly following the service this morning, and we invite all of you to stay. There's plenty of food, so we ask you all to stay and eat. So it's going to be yummy in my tummy. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 through 35. Last week, we learned through Peter that to be effective in our faith, we, like Barnabas was to Paul, we must be welcoming, right? We have to welcome one another. And to be effective in our faith, we, like Peter, must be personal. We must get involved, involved in ministry and personally involved in people's lives and personally involved in serving the Lord through serving his church, which is ultimately serving his people. That's what the church is the people of God. Remember, God did not save us to be served. Let me get that sink in for a second, because a lot of people think that's what the church is to do, that we're to serve them. Listen, God did not save us to be served. He called us and saved us to serve him, and we do that by serving others, all right? You have to get that concept there. If I'm going to serve God, I will serve others. So this morning, I would like to jump back into Scripture and find out what else we must do to have an effective faith. So turn with me into the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 32, Acts 9, 32 through 35. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Listen, if you want to have an effective faith above all else, above everything else, you must have this. You must exalt Christ. You must exalt him and do not promote yourself. The title of this sermon was Humble. We must exalt him and we must not promote ourselves. That means we must humble ourselves. Understand, Peter understood his role and Peter understood who he was and he understood who God was. Peter makes this very clear over in Acts chapter 10, verse 25, a centurion named Cornelius, when he first met Peter, when Cornelius first met Peter, he fell down at Peter's feet to worship Peter. He was beginning to worship Peter. But in verse 26, Peter says, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. Listen, an effective servant never exalts himself. An effective servant never exalts himself. Peter said, I'm just a man. You know, a lot of times people will follow pastors or they'll follow certain speakers on TV or this and that. Listen, Don't follow a man, follow Christ. Peter, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, okay? So Peter said, look, I'm just a man. So Peter understood who he was. He also understood who God was. Now look at again at Acts 9, verse 34. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus, the Christ, heals you. So who did Peter give credit to? Jesus, the Christ, right? Right? Did he give credit to Jesus? Now, how easy would it have been for Peter to say, Aeneas, I command you to get up and walk, you are healed. Many times we do that. How many times do we do that? Where we personally want to be involved in the credits. We see this TV, religious TV programs all the time. They inject the word I in there, right? We see it all the time, and they do these proclamations, they do these commands, and it's I command you. I command that evil spirit to come out. I do that. We see it on religious TV programs all the time, as well as we do in the church. Let's break it down, because we don't always live in the TV world, but it also happens in the church. Let's face it, we all want credit when things are going good, don't we? When everything's riding good, everything's clicking, everything's going right, we want the credit. Look what I did. But listen, I always tell people this, if it rises on you, then it falls on you. Listen, but we all like this. We all want the credit when things are going good. We all want to look good in the eyes of those around us, don't we? I mean, let's be honest, we do. We all want to do things that make others stand up and take notice, don't we? We all have that desire to look good in the eyes of our peers. I'm being honest with you. I want to look good in front of you. All right? And listen, if you are sitting there thinking, not me, then I'm going to say to you, are you really being truthful with yourself? Because since the original sin, when Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan to be better than God, or at least to be as good as God, to be like God, right? Since then, we all have that inward desire, a sinful desire, an inward desire to be all and to know all, right? We want to know and be all that we can be, right? So I'm sure that it would not have been hard at all for Peter to rephrase his command ever so subtly, just to draw a little bit of attention for himself, just to get a little bit of the miracle glory for himself, right? Think about it. But he didn't. It'd been really easy, but he didn't do that. So I believe that we can all take a little closer look at Peter and learn a thing or two about selfless humility in the midst of service. Selfless humility in the midst of service, which, by the way, stands in sharp contrast to many today who seek their own fame and their own fortune. And quite honestly, we live in that kind of culture here in the United States of America. Yes, we do. Where people will do whatever they have to get recognized, whether it's good or bad. I often tell parents in counseling sometimes when it is involving their children, I said, you have to understand, they're either going to get positive attention or they're going to get negative attention. But one way or the other, they're going to get attention, right? So look, here, so the people will do whatever they have to get recognized, whether it's good or bad. You all remember, or at least heard, I'm sure, about what happened last year at the Academy Awards when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. Anybody here live under a rock and didn't hear that? No, okay. Okay, where Smith slapped Rock, right? Where Rock made a joke about Smith's wife, and Smith went up on stage and slapped Rock right in the face and shouted an expletive at him, and he said, no, I'm not going to say what he said, and he shouted an expletive at him. Now, some were saying that the whole thing was a publicity stunt between Rock and Smith, and it was premeditated, and it was staged, it was a setup. Now, others were saying this, that it was Smith's attempt to bring some attention to himself and also his wife, who has alopecia, which is what Rock made his joke about his wife, right? But here's the thing. Whether negative or positive, we all want a little attention, don't we? We are all seeking a little fame and a little fortune. We all want to be noticed. But isn't it a sad state of affairs when someone gets fame from doing the wrong thing? That's sad. This happens every day. Just go turn on any news station on your TV. But the Bible does tell us that in the last days, Philippians 3:19, people will glory in their shame. Now, I get this all the time. Do you think we're in the last days? I think we could be. Listen, I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But listen, if we're not in the last days, can you imagine how much worse it's going to get? Right? Just think about that. It says in the last days, people will glory in their shame. There's no shame in their sin, right? Now, I don't know a whole lot about Will Smith's spiritual condition. He claims to be a Christian. He says he's a Christian. He did an interview in which he said that his Christian faith was instilled in him by his grandmother. God bless grandmas, right? It was instilled in him by his grandmother. Now, whether his faith is genuine, only God knows. Only God knows that. But he does some things like having an open marriage and admittedly having extramarital relationships, and he donates to causes that the Bible stands against. But again, whether he's a Christian or not, I do not know. But at least on the surface, it looks a little sketchy. Nevertheless, whether that was a publicity stunt or not. We see in Hollywood this type of behavior all the time. These high profile people who glory in their shame or glory in their accomplishments, who do great things, but God gets no glory in it at all. It's all, look at what I did. But what about Christians? Real Christians. What about us? What about you? What about me? What about us low profile people? I am kind of low profile. I'm round profile, but I'm a low profile, right? But us low profile people, what about us? Now, although I'm relatively sure that if one of you were to be caught slapping someone in the face or being involved in an open marriage, I'm pretty sure you would not want that kind of publicity, or at least I hope you would not. But what about what we do in our jobs? How about what we do in our homes, in our church service? Do we who call ourselves followers of the King, followers of Jesus the Christ, do we do that same thing? Do we do that? Do we seek fame for the great things that we have done? Or for that matter, do we seek fame for the great things He has done? I mean, do we seek fame for ourselves? Do we even seek fame for the things that He's done? Now, I hate to be the one to tell you all, but some of us do. We do. That we, instead of following Jesus, we try to take the lead ourselves. We try to get out in front, and then what happens is, instead of exalting Him, we exalt ourselves. Notice me, notice me. You may not say it out loud, but what your motive in doing what you're doing and how you're doing it is, notice me, notice me. Look at what I did. Look what I did. See what I did? Look what I did. I did this. I did that. You know, I spent most of my life with better than perfect vision. I did. I spent most of my life. It was an amazing thing. With almost perfect vision. But you know what happened as I got around the mid-40s? I started having trouble seeing the fine print. My eyes just can't focus on those really small letters the way they used to. So I have an eye problem. And now I carry around these glasses, these reading glasses. I got these now. Yeah. Right? That's why I don't wear them. What works for you? But I have an eye problem. I have these reading glasses. Just so you know, size 18 font. Right? Hallelujah. But let me tell you what happens to many Christians. I'm talking about Christians who have seen God at work, who knows God's work, people who have served, people who have labored, people who have prayed, people who have witnessed firsthand God's miraculous power. And listen, we've seen God's miraculous power in this church more than once. People who have seen things that could only be attributed to God. People who are active and moving in Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ, that for some reason they develop an eye problem. And here are some of the problems. I'm not talking about these eye problems. I'm talking about an eye, me problem. They develop an eye problem. And here are some of the symptoms. They are so busy doing the work. Is serving God wrong? No, you should. Everyone should be serving God. But you can get so busy doing the work at serving God that you just don't see God at work anymore. In other words, the only thing I can see, I got to get this done, I got to get this done, I got to do this, I got to do that. And you miss God in the work. Therefore, they can't focus on the small things and sometimes the big things as well that he's doing. Is I'm so busy in the work that I can't see God moving. I can't see what God's doing anymore. They have trouble focusing on Jesus Christ. And let me tell you why that is. Because they are too busy focusing on what they are doing or what they can do. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I can do it all. I can do it all. Look at me. Pay attention to me. Notice me. I am great. I do this. I do that. And I. Right? You ever know anybody like that? You see, they have an eye problem. And listen, this problem is actually pretty common. It's hard to get, it's easy, and it's not hard to fall into this. It's easy to fall into this. That's why we have to be careful. Careful to remember who we are and who he is. In the big stuff and the little stuff. Some of us are going through some big stuff. Some of us maybe some little stuff, but it's still stuff. But listen, we got to be careful and remember who we are and who he is. Well, thankfully, Peter got this concept. Peter understood this. Peter got this concept. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, Peter tells us this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. If I had to paraphrase this right off the top of my head, don't worry about the accolades of men. You worry about what God's going to say to you. Right? And I think that it's really important as Christians that we take a lesson from Peter here. Or how easy it would be to say, wow, you know what? The church giving has really increased since I became the treasurer. Or we've had the best VBS ever since I became the director. Or look how nice the church lawn is since I began mowing the grass. You know what the truth is? Look how the church has grown since I became the pastor. Or the praise band is better than ever since I got involved in the praise band. Or this church would never have an effective women's group, or this church would never have an effective men's group if I weren't involved in it, if I hadn't put it all together, if I hadn't done all the work. You get my point here? You're getting what I'm saying here? Listen, friends, we have some new faces in some new places. And we have a lot of old faces and a lot of old places. So to have an effective faith, a faith that works, not only for ourselves, but for this church body. Listen to that one. I want you to hear that again. How do we have an effective faith? A faith that works not only for ourselves, but for this church body as well. Well, listen, we need to be cautious. How profound is that, right? We need to be cautious to keep our eyes focused so that we don't develop an eye problem. You know, anybody know what I mean? Does anybody really know what I mean? You got to be cautious not to get it. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. That's the point. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ because, listen to me, without His intervention, without His involvement, without His intervention, without His insight, without His leading, without His guidance, nothing that we do or don't do would mean anything. It wouldn't mean anything. It would be valueless apart from Him. We are told in Psalm 127 that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We can build an immaculate church. We can do all kinds of things. We can draw people by the hundreds if we wanted to. But the question is, are we being effective for the gospel of Christ? Are we inviting Christ into the church as we build it? The point being, if the Lord isn't in it, then what we do for Him really doesn't matter anyways. It's meaningless. And if we are exalting ourselves instead of the Lord, then the question would come, who are we serving? Are we serving the Lord? Or are we serving ourselves? Paul taught us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, look what he said. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Let us be imitators of Christ, right? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Listen, this church has not grown because I'm the pastor. It has not. I pray to God that nobody gives me that credit. I don't want it. I never have wanted it. This church hasn't grown because I'm pastor. This church hasn't grown because I'm pastor. This church has grown because Jesus is in it. We exalt Him above all. Jesus Christ is working through the people here at Open Door. Listen to me. Our VBS isn't the best ever because Heather heads it up. Newsflash, Heather, it's not about you. It's not all great because you did it, right, Heather? It's our VBS is the best because Jesus is in it. And she makes sure that Jesus is in it. She makes sure that that material is right, that it's biblically right. She understands that the people who is teaching it are right with Christ. She wants Jesus in the VBS. She doesn't want Heather in the VBS. Because why? Why does she want Jesus in it? Why do I want Jesus in it? Why does anybody who truly serves should want Jesus? Because Heather committed herself to the Lord in prayer and dedication to glorify Jesus Christ and to make Him known to the children who attend. And listen, I could go on and on. But the bottom line is this. If you want to grow and be effective for Jesus Christ in your personal life, and if we want to grow and be effective for Jesus Christ as a church body, then folks, the answer is this. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. What is a bondservant? It's right, it's a slave. We don't like that word today, do we? But that's exactly what it means, that he took on the form of a slave. And I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened here in this very church about 30 years ago. It's a true story, a sad story. And I don't tell this story, honestly, I don't tell this story to tarnish anyone's reputation. And in fact, no one knows about this story but myself, Donna, and Kathy Felici. We're the only ones that know about this. All the others, and the reason why we're the only ones that know about this, because all the other ones have gone to be with the Lord. They died. Now, but there was a man and his wife who attended church here very religiously, very regularly, and very faithfully. They attended here. In fact, they already attended the church here when Donna and I came here. Although I thought they were really old when I came here, I thought they were like, wow, these guys are all old, man. In reality, I now realize they were younger than Donna and I are right now. You think we're old? But anyways, the wife was very actively involved in this church, and so was the husband. Very hugely a big part of this church. Now, part of what he did was he cut the grass, which is a big job, by the way. A big job and a big commitment. You understand it's an every week sort of thing, unless you're Randy Ryan. It could be a two or three time week sort of thing. But listen, it's a big commitment. It's an every week sort of thing, and we have a lot of grass. Well, he got really mad. I'm talking really, really mad because the pastor, Pastor Hayes, in a service, had thanked a few people for some things that they had done around the church the previous week. He just stood up here and he gave thanks to those people who did some work around the church. But the pastor forgot to thank him for cutting the grass. And he got mad. Like, really, really mad. So mad that he left the church over it. Well, the pastor went to visit to apologize, to him that he simply forgot. Like, I've never forgot to announce or say something, right? I mean, you know, listen, we're human, right? The pastor went to visit to apologize that he simply forgot. It wasn't intentional. He just simply forgot. Then the pastor asked me to go visit because I had created a really strong friendship with this guy. And so I did. I went to visit him. But this guy dug his heels in the ground, and he felt very slighted that he was not thanked and recognized in the church service for cutting the grass. On the other hand, the ladies of the church tried to reach out to the wife, but she stood behind her husband, and they would not budge. So they never came back. In fact, they never went to another church again, ever. Well, when I was called as your pastor, I went to visit several times, but there was no convincing him or her. So let me tell you what happened. Over time, the wife lost all connection with the ladies here, her support group. This lady was the ladies' Sunday school teacher and had a huge class. So she had built a lot of relationships, but over time, it was all gone. No connection at all. And the husband, he became a bitter, angry, old man. He sat and he stewed for 30 years. And I know that because from time to time, if I were driving by his house and he was sitting out on his porch, I would stop and visit. And he was still stewing every time we came there, every time I stopped there, and it had been more than a dozen times. He was still stewing about not being thanked. He brought it up every time. And he stewed until the day he died, when, by the way, I was asked to do his funeral. So what was the real problem here? He wanted the glory when the glory belonged to God. And you say, well, Pastor, how are you getting that? Well, do you understand? His position there, he wanted the glory when the glory belonged to God. Now, just a side note. Not so long ago, I personally thanked a couple here in the church who had stayed after the service or something, and they had done some work here, and it was something that I asked some people to help, and they were the only two that helped. This wasn't too long ago. And when they were walking out the door, the fellowship hall doors, they were walking out the door, I stood at the door and I said, listen, I really want to thank you guys for helping and what you did. And they're like, well, why are you thanking us? And I said, well, you know, I asked people to stay and nobody stayed. I said, but you guys stayed clear to the end. And I said, and I just really want to thank you for what you've done. And I can never forget what he looked at me. He turned around and looked at me. He says, you don't need to thank us. We didn't do it for you. If you're doing something in this church because of me, stop. Quit today. You see, these people got it. They understood what they were doing was not for man, but for God. They got what this grass guy didn't get. The glory belonged to God because, in the grass cutting situation, right? The glory belonged to God because, number one, God gave us this property, right? God gave it. And if you knew the true story about all this property, it's only by an act of God. Am I lying or am I not? Right? It's by an act of God. Look, he gave us all this property with all this grass. So when you're cutting grass, thank you, Jesus. When you're over the hill, what are you doing, Jesus? Right. So, but listen, he gave us this property with all this grass to be used for worship. We don't look at it that way, do we? But this is the truth. He gave us all this grass to be used for worship. Do you understand where we were before we were here? We were in a trailer. In a trailer out on St. John's Road, a regular trailer. Do you know where we were before that? In a tent. But secondly, when serving God, man, when we recognize the truth of who we are and we accept, truly accept who He is, being a slave for Jesus Christ is an honor. It is a privilege to serve the King for His glory. Amen? Not my glory. Is that song, the last song, for His glory? Amen? Amen. And listen, exalting the Savior isn't something that we should only do when we are actively serving in some ministry. That's not the only time we exalt God, is when we're serving in the ministry, but it's also something that we can and should be doing as we walk through our daily lives. As you're being a husband, as you're being a wife, as you're being a dad, as you're being a mom, as you go to work, as you conduct your business, whatever you do, as we go living our daily lives, we should be exalting God, giving Him the glory. Matthew West sings a song, and the title is this, My Story, Your Glory. Some of you may have heard this, I'm sure. It is My Story, Your Glory. It goes like this. It goes like, the story of me was a story of shame. Wrong turns written on every page. So many parts that there were, so many parts that were so messed up, but I love the part where you showed up. Rewriting my past, rewriting my hurt, line by line, word by word. And now my story is living proof. There's not a chapter that you can't use. My story, your glory. My pain, your purpose. My mess, your message. In all things, I know you're working. One life, one mission. One reason why I'm living. All for you, not for me. My story, your glory. Now the story of me is a story of grace, fingerprints of mercy on every page. No more ashamed of the path I took. You set me free to be an open book. If even my scars are part of your pain, take all my heart, Lord, here I am. My only cause till you call me home is knowing you more and making you known. All of me, all for you. Let all I say and all I do point to the one who changed my life, and let me speak the legacy I leave behind. My story, your glory. My pain, your purpose. My mess, your message. I love that. In all things, I know you're working. One life, one mission, one reason why I'm living. All for you, not for me. My story, your glory. Listen, in every situation, no matter what life throws at you, whether it is something as simple as having your feelings hurt, for not being thanked about something. And we think that's silly, right? We think about that. We say that's silly. But he was really hurt and it affected him for his entire life. Or whether it's something as serious as your child being really sick. Or maybe your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa. They're really sick. Listen, even in the midst of this, we can find something to exalt our Savior for if we really try. But listen, we can't. Or maybe I should say we won't. We won't exalt Him if our eyes aren't focused on Him, but they're focused on me. Our eyes. You know, there's some ways correctly to use I. I lift my hands to praise you, Lord. I give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. I surrender all that I have and all that I am to follow you, Lord. I serve you, Lord, so that your work can be accomplished. Do you see the right eye problem there? That means your vision is getting better. We need to keep our eyes focused on the Savior and give Him the glory and give Him the credit for the great things that He has done. We are simply the conduits to the work. His work. We're simply the conduits to His work. We are simply the means that He uses to draw people to Himself. Do you see it? I don't understand it, but do you see it? All of me, all for you. That all I say and all I do point to the one who changed my life. My story, your glory. And notice, when our eyes are focused in on Jesus, when we are only using our eyes in surrender to His work and His plan, the results are spectacular. Because Jesus is in VBS and we're focused on Jesus in VBS, the results are spectacular. You see it in how many? Look in verse 35 in your text there, where multitudes came to know Jesus Christ and multitudes believed in the work of the cross. We talked about that last week. Now, listen closely. I'm going to finish. I know, but I'm not going to be another half hour. I am going to finish. Listen closely. This is the true result of an effective faith. A faith that exalts Jesus Christ. A faith that has its eyes in the right place. The result of that, of having your eyes in the right place, people turn to the Lord. And I feel that it is important that I point out here the phrase turn to the Lord there in verse 35 that is used here does not mean that they change their minds about Jesus. That's not what that means. It means that they had a change of direction, a change of life direction. Something on the inside changed. It means a change of belief, a change of behavior that was completely and totally opposite than before they witnessed this miracle. Something took place in them supernaturally. And listen, for the Christian who is involved again, that was last week. The Christian who is involved in who is truly seeking to exalt Jesus Christ, this should be our mission. My only cause till you come is knowing you more and making you known. My only cause till you call me home is knowing you more and making you known. As the praise band comes, listen to me. Listen to me. Getting to be a part of a changed life truly is the greatest reward we could possibly receive. For someone to experience a life change in Jesus Christ, my story, your glory, amen. To him be all glory and honor forever and ever, amen. So open door. My charge to you this day is this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. That is, if you want an effective faith, be humble. Because for all things, it is God and God only who gets the glory, no matter what it is, even if it's cutting the grass. So the question is, will you humble yourself before the Lord to serve him for his glory? Not for yours, but for his. And what is his glory? That all will come unto salvation. Would you humble yourself, Father God? We ask that you move powerfully and wonderfully in this service. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us so much with your word. Your word helps us to grow and mature in our faith, Lord, to take our eyes off ourselves and to keep them focused on you. So, Lord, we lift our hearts to you. And if we need our changed hearts, if we need our hearts to be humbled, Lord, I pray that you begin right now to do that work. And, Lord, if there's anyone in this place that needs to repent and turn of their sins and to follow you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, do not let them hesitate to come forward and say, I want to invite Christ into my heart. Lord, for your glory. For your glory. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and thank you. And, Lord, as we end this service, that as we go later to the dinner, Lord, we ask your blessings upon the food that you've given us. And, Father, we ask it so that as we eat them, that it will give us enough nourishment to propel ourselves to go do more good works in your name. We ask your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Larry. We all please stand.
This is the hour I've been waiting for.
thank you all for coming, and I pray that you all stay for the dinner, and it's a good time, and lots of food, and the more you eat, the least I have to take home. That's not true. I don't take it home. Unless it's good, then I take it home. Yeah. No. But brother, you have something pertaining to food you want to say, right? Bacon Bob. I didn't know that till just now. Okay, men's breakfast Saturday at 8 o'clock. All right. Well, thank you for coming again. Stay with us. If not, go out there and glorify God. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. And I-